You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at LeBron James and the rest of the always interesting Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog. On today's show, we're taking a look at Friday night's Game 6, which the Cavs won 109-99 behind 46 points from none other than LeBron James. James in this game set only two 57-second stretches, one at the end of the third quarter and one at the end of the game when he got to sit down for good. And it's James who has the Cavs in position to compete for a chance to make it to the finals for a fourth straight season. In this game as well, Kevin Love goes down, George Hill plays well, Larry Nance plays well, etc., etc. We're going to get into all that and more in a quarter-by-quarter breakdown of the game. Real quick, though, some housekeeping notes. Be sure to subscribe and listen to the show on iTunes, Megaphone, Stitcher, Overcast, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Five-star reviews are the best way to support the show, and if you want to reach the show, drop me an email at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com and find the show on Twitter and Facebook at LockedOnCavs. You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrites. If you want full written coverage of the game, there's a bunch of things up at FearTheSword.com and more to come in the next day or so. As I record this, it is 2:14 a.m. on Saturday, May 26th. So by the time you listen to this, some things may have changed, and that will matter specifically on the Kevin Love front, which we're going to get into. But here's a look at the Cavs' Game 6 win, with starting with the first quarter of their 109-99 win. I think when you look at the first quarter of this game, you see a quarter that I don't think fit in with the rest of this game. The Cavs are down by 5 at the end of 1. They don't look particularly good. It's a lot of LeBron. It's a lot of George Hill. And the Kevin Love's injury happened in this quarter. So there's just a lot not going right. And in lieu of going beat by beat in this quarter, here are just some of the key things that happen here. Number one, LeBron James is 4 of 8 from the field. The rest of the team is 5 of 17. If you add George Hill to that, you take away his 3 makes and his 3 makes and his 6 shot attempts. Non-LeBron George Hill players in this quarter were a whopping 2 of 11 from the field. That includes 0 of 3 from Kevin Love. For the Cavs to only be down 5 and to have that many players shoot badly is a good outcome for them, considering what goes on later and how much they do turn this around and how much LeBron gets going and feeds into everything else that was happening on the court. That was not great. Aggressive George Hill was a sign of things to come here, right? George Hill is 3-6. He was aggressive from the beginning. He was trying to make his presence felt. And this was a podium game for George Hill. He did speak actually at the podium after the game, something he hasn't done yet this postseason. Look, he in this quarter was just out there getting it. He was a guy that said, okay, I'm going to try to make my impact on the game. I'm going to force myself into shot situations and pick and rolls and not just sit back and let LeBron do everything. They need this George Hill. George Hill has to be this guy, not just at home, but now he's going to have to do it on the road, which he hasn't done yet against Boston. They need the George Hill that was in the first quarter. Now, Kevin Love's injury is the big thing that happens here. You have Jaylen Brown, you know, scoring 15 points and everything that went right for Boston. So it doesn't hold, obviously. We know where this is headed. But Kevin Love leaves the game with 6:58 to go. He was on offense. The Cavs were the team on offense. And Jason Tatum's running through, chasing around a Cavs player. The two knockheads. Tatum says post-game that he just has a knot. And I said he should be fine, but Kevin Love has to leave the game. He's on the court for a few minutes. It looked like he laid down. He gets up. He walks off the floor with a trainer and with George Hill making sure he's all good and checking on him. He goes to the back pretty much immediately after that, after a quick little checkup on the sidelines, and they say that he's not going to come back. The team announces shortly after that that he's not undergoing evaluation. We know now that it's up in the air. It's a toss-up, to quote Jason Lloyd from The Athletic, that he's going to play or not in Sunday's Game 7. He is a guy who the Cavs could still really use, but it's a very big question mark at this point if Kevin Love is going to be able to go. He underwent tests at halftime. There was no other updates after that. And Ty Lue speaks on Saturday around 1 p.m., so perhaps we'll get an update then. But right now it doesn't seem great that the Cavs are going to have Kevin Love. I mean, just looking at him, it was not great. But again, in this quarter, the Cavs being only down 5 with the non-LeBron, non-George Hill players not shooting well, with the Kevin Love injury, being only down by 5 points after 1 was not a terrible place to be. You probably didn't feel great about their performance in that quarter. I don't think I did. And just evaluating it, it's not going to be the most fun thing to rewatch. But I think when you look at what was going on there, I think they made the mess out of a bad situation and then were able to take it a step forward in how well they play the rest of the game. To move into the second quarter of this game, you see the Cavs seeing, I think, a template of what really worked for them in Game 6. One of the key things here was Jeff Green actually giving them good minutes. He was really bad in the first quarter. You could go back and look at him. There's some post-ups he had where he couldn't take advantage of Terry Rozier. It was actually a theme for him in this game. But he gave them something positive. Playing alongside Larry Nance, he ran the floor really well. He got to the free throw line. He played good defense. It's the template of what works for Jeff Green in this quarter that I think is going to be a key for him going forward, just because there's a chance that Kevin Love can't play in Game 7. If the Cavs are going to get out of this series at this point, they need Jeff Green to be positive because he's going to play. There's not a scenario where he's not going to see 20, 25, 30 minutes in a Game 7 if Kevin Love does not play. So they need him to do what he's doing here. We're going to look at some stats later on when we look ahead to Game 7, but there's a template, I think, of what lineups work well for him that we saw here in game six in the second quarter, and it really involves Larry Nance playing center. Speaking of Larry Nance, another fantastic game for him. I wrote about him on Friday. You can read that piece in the show notes, but Larry Nance, I think, has been so impressive the last three games, particularly last night. In Game 6, he had steals, rebounds. He was doing a really good job positioning himself on the floor against the Celtics and really making himself felt. For example, at 10:30 in the second quarter, he had a putback dunk that cleaned up a Boston miss. This could have been a bungled Cavs possession, wasted, but he cleans it up by being in the right position and using his athleticism to his advantage. At 9:14, he set a fantastic screen. If you've listened to this podcast before, if you sort of know what Larry Nance is, he's not a good screener, or at least before he was not a willing screener. He actually, in the screen, put his body into Marcus Morris, and Marcus Morris had to then sprint out of control back to the other side of the floor to catch up with LeBron in the lane and foul LeBron. Nance, because he used his physicality and put his body into the screen instead of just going to the spot and hoping that it worked, did something really good there. Fantastic. This is maybe my favorite play of his of the game because it's just his screening has been so much better. He works a lot with Tristan Thompson at practice. The two have sort of a bond. And at this point, and I do believe that this screening improvement is a byproduct of working with Tristan. 5:06, Nance has a steal that leads to Clarkson getting a coast-to-coast bucket. You can go look through this whole quarter, you look at the film, and you see just a lot of really good things. Even a jumper in this quarter, which is something we haven't seen from him in quite a long time. So, an A-plus quarter for Larry Nance here in Game 6. You can read the player grades at forthesword.com. I think he deserves an A. Carter Rodriguez, who's a great writer, gave him a B+, and I would fully disagree with that rating. I thought Nance was fantastic in every aspect of this. Other things that started on this quarter, Jordan Clarkson had his best playoff minutes. Still a little Jordan Clarkson-y, but I thought he did some good things. Actually, he was putting in an effort on the defensive end and making some hustle plays. Did this overall in the game. LeBron then goes into God mode. He did not sit in this quarter. He had 13 points in the quarter and was just LeBron James doing LeBron James things. He scored on Tatum at the end of the quarter, sort of a sign of things to come. The Cavs really hunted LeBron versus Tatum down. He hit a corner three late in this quarter. LeBron, again, just utterly fantastic and doing everything the Cavs need him to do. And the Cavs in this quarter also did a really, really good job of playing active hands defense. This was a group that I thought went out there actually was making the most of what their personnel was. They were aware, active. As a group, they needed this. They were switching a little bit more with Jeff Green in there. It's something Ty Lue talked about after the game. They forced 8 turnovers in the first half. Korver was active. JR was active. JR even had one where he chased, you know, he had a closeout where he chased Tatum into the corner and put up his hand and got a little tip of the ball. So a really, really good stretch for the Cavs. Al Horford had 0 points in the first half, and the Cavs lead at the half. A good thing for them. They leading by 11 after that, being down by 5 after one. Just a fantastic first quarter, and them responding without Kevin Love was a really, really big thing for them. The third quarter was more, I think, of a lot of the same for the Cavs. They come out with Jeff Green starting in place of Kevin Love, and you had George Hill take his turn in giving them something good. George Hill in this quarter has 12 points and was playing some of the most aggressive basketball that we've seen him play. He let LeBron pick his spots just a little bit more. Just examples of this. At 11:44 in the third quarter, 16 seconds in, Hill drives inside, and he's fouled. He gets both free throws. When Boston is going up the other end of the floor, a mere 3 seconds after the free throws, Hill gets a steal and puts the Cavs up by 15. He was driving over and over again, getting fouls, getting to the line. He, at 8:20, he missed a 3, but he actually went for the 3. He dribbled into a pull-up 3-point shot. I like that he did that. George Hill in this quarter on both ends of the floor, but more so on offense where it really matters, did a really, really good job of staying aggressive and staying on top of things. The Cavs were, again, just very much more poised in this game than they were at any point in Boston, and Hill was a big part of that. They pushed the lead up to as many as 16 in this quarter. Hill had free throws at 5:39. They got them there. Boston chips away at this a little bit. You see Rozier cuts it to 12 at 4:44 with a bucket. Hill gets his 12th point in 4:20 to respond to that, though. Tatum gets it down to 12 at 2:39. It's up. And then LeBron checks out at 57.3 seconds to go. Marcus Morris hits a 3-pointer with 39.2 seconds to go to make it a 10-point game. And this, to me, was a very key moment. On the next possession, Kyle Korver hit the 3. It was Jordan Clarkson who passed to Jeff Green, who passed to Kyle Korver. This was a huge basket. The Cavs likely win this game regardless, I think, whether this play happens or not. But it was a really heady play by Jordan Clarkson, who is not known for those. He makes the right read to not force a shot. Jeff Green actually doesn't attack, and I think made the right choice not to. And then you get the ball into Kyle Korver's hands with LeBron off the floor, and it puts the Cavs back up by 13. This matters because Terry Rozier hit an off-bounds three-pointer with three seconds to go to make it a 10-point game heading into the fourth quarter. The Cavs are likely still, again, fine if they are able to not make that 3, but that little extra bonus, that little extra moment where they get something when LeBron is sitting, and the first time he had rested all game, to me, was just a big emotional moment for this team. They need a lot like that. They need that all year. They've needed that all year, and to get it in a moment like this from the people that they did, in particular Clarkson and Green, was just, I thought, a really big moment. I'm likely overstating its importance. It was not something anyone asked about. It wasn't probably not even worth asking about, but at least in that context. But I think you saw a group that actually responded to this pressure really well, and you saw Hill give LeBron support, you give that 3 giving LeBron support, and the defense giving LeBron support. I thought just some really, really some really, really strong stuff for the Cavs in this group. LeBron will end up being the hero here, but these guys played a part in the story. This was not just a LeBron wrecking people game. So LeBron is back to start the fourth quarter. They go with Nance, Korver, Clarkson, and JR. Nance would end up playing the whole fourth quarter. We'll get into what sort of this indicates, especially when he's playing with Green, but yeah, so Boston actually goes with Greg Monroe. I thought Nance had a huge athletic advantage against him. I thought he did an okay job of taking advantage of that. He had a really good defense on Monroe at 10-28 to force a turnover. He cleaned up a LeBron miss when Smart actually blocked LeBron at 9:50. So some really good Larry Nance things in this quarter. He was, to me, maybe the second or third best Cav in this game. I thought he was just awesome. The Cavs have one scary moment in this game where LeBron is a little bit ginger getting up on the floor at 8:28 to go. Larry Nance appeared to roll on his leg. LeBron said after the game he wasn't even sure exactly who did it, but it happened. But he ended up being fine. He did limp a little bit at his arena. He said it's going to be a big couple of recovery days for him. I would expect him to be fine. I would not expect him to be on the injury list or anything like that for Sunday's game. LeBron's going to play, but note that he did take his tires did get a little bit worn in this moment. Nance has a putback at 8:05 to kind of help make up for this. He cleans up a LeBron miss to put the Cavs up by 9. LeBron puts the Cavs up by 11 at 7:21 to put them back up 11. And from there, the Cavs hang basically in the 7 to 10-ish point lead range. They hang there. Korver has a turnover that when they're only up 7. Tatum gets called for foul there. Korver actually gets called for a weird foul against Jaylen Brown at 3:10 when it's around a 10-point game. And then LeBron does what LeBron does. He absolutely buries the Celtics. LeBron was great in this whole quarter, was in attack mode. He was going at Horford. He was going at everyone. Was getting, obviously, some help from Nance, getting some help from Korver, and getting some help from Jeff Green, actually. But LeBron buries the Celtics on 3 consecutive possessions to ice this game. 2:24 to go. Hits a step-back 3-pointer versus Tatum to put him at 41 points, puts the Cavs lead back at 10. 1:40. After the Celtics score 2 points, LeBron 3 puts the Cavs up 11. He hits it in Tatum's face, forces the Celtics timeout. Right there. Good position. At 57.8 seconds, LeBron then drives on Jaylen Brown, scores, and gets the foul to put the Cavs up 13. He misses the free throw, but commits a quick foul. Subs out of the game. Both teams kind of pull their main guys out, with Jetty Osman coming in for LeBron. And LeBron finishes his night with 46 points, pushes the Cavs' lead up to 13 on his way out, gets serenaded by MVP chants. And frankly, in that moment, I mean, that's sort of why you argue LeBron is that guy. He obviously, again, got help from guys in this game. I thought pretty much everyone who played in this game did something positive, especially with Kevin Love. That was really important. But LeBron James, at the end of the day, went in full God mode, took this group to a Game 7, got them there with his 46 points, got him there by absolutely just wrecking Jason Tatum in these last two possessions, then wrecking Jaylen Brown in one more, and doing what LeBron James does. The Cavs got in a position where they could rely on LeBron to be clutch, and he's super clutch, and he took them there. That is how you win this series. That is how he is taking this group that is maybe not as good as, it's definitely not as good as any of the teams he's had the last couple years, that was without its second best player for the large majority of this game, and he gets them to a Game 7. That is why having LeBron James and that encapsulation of his greatness is these last couple of minutes, just how poised he was, the big shots he hits, and what he gives this team. There's no one else like him, and he carried the Cavs there. He did it early. He did it the whole game. Got support at the right moments. Got support from Hill, from Nance, from JR, from Korver, from Clarkson, from Green, and then took the Cavs and Tristan Thompson and took the Cavs home with those last 8 points against Tatum and Brown. He won the Cavs. He sealed that win there. He won it. He didn't win it himself. He got support, but he iced it. And that's what the Cavs, that's the template for how the Cavs are going to win a Game 7, in my mind. So, of course, this sets up a Game 7 on Sunday in Boston, an 8:30 tip, heading into a Monday where we all have off of work. Thank goodness. So I get to sleep after the game. But there's a lot of questions about the Cavs going into this game. Number one, does Kevin Love play is the big thing. We're recording this, again, late at night, so it's unclear right now of what his status is going to be, but it seems unlikely that he's going to play. This sets up Jeff Green probably starting Game 7, and you can scream a little bit, I get it. Green and Nance in the series, for what it's worth, have a plus 17.9 net rating. Green and Thompson, a negative 6.8 net rating. For the playoffs, Green and Nance are a 2.1 net rating. Green and Thompson, 11.7. I get wanting to play Tristan. I get wanting to play Tristan against Horford, but Nansen Green might be the better fit. You can still play Tristan, but I think Nansen Green might be just a better fit. You can play Thompson with Korver. You also could start Kyle Korver. I might consider that as well, but I think him or Korver seem the likeliest options to start in Green's place. We'll have a reaction to that up at FearTheSword.com once we hear that news and once Ty Lue maybe offers some sort of update on that. The Cavs also just have to beat Boston in a situation where Boston has not lost all postseason. The Celtics are a 10-0 at home. The Cavs have looked like a completely different team in their home arena. The Cavs have looked like a completely different team while playing in Boston. And it's going to be a big crazy moment with a lot of tension and just a lot riding on. Are the Cavs going to get to a 4 straight finals? Are the Celtics going to take going to hold on to their 2-0 lead and take advantage of this? Is LeBron going to be good to go? I would expect so. And again, who starts for Kevin Love? Does Kevin Love play? There's just so much questions there. Are the Cavs going to get aggressive George Hill? You know, not all over the place, J.R. Smith. If Semi Ojeleye doesn't play again, is Ty going to play Kyle Korver a lot of minutes? There's a lot of important questions there. Is George Hill going to get his barbacoa and guacamole, that's it, tacos? I mean, we don't know, but the Cavs are in a position where they have a chance to get to the finals. They have LeBron James. And to quote Tristan Thompson, to paraphrase Tristan Thompson, you feel a little more comfortable in a Game 7 on the road when you have that guy in your team. So that'll be it for today's show. We'll be back after Game 7. There may be a slight reaction to Kevin Love if Ty Lue says anything on Saturday afternoon, so stay on the lookout for that. There may be something, we may do a Facebook Live on Sunday as well, but the plan right now is to be back Sunday after Game 7. Thanks for listening to Locked on Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrites. Find the pod on Twitter at Locked on Cavs, and we'll talk to you soon.